Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's a terrible picture, but it's painted for us there. USA Today has the headline, Pregnant Pakistani Woman Stoned to Death by Her Family. That says it all. As a crowd watched outside the courthouse, the family of a pregnant Pakistani woman beat her to death Tuesday because she had married the man she loved instead of her cousin. Now, the question is immediately apparent here. What does this have to do, if anything, with Islam? And if it has something to do with Islam, is it an example of one family taking the beliefs of Islam too far or over going farther than what Islam would dictate for a family and a pregnant daughter and a marriage they didn't want to have happen? Joining us to talk about this story, Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch and author of several books on Islam, including his latest, Arab Winter Comes to America, The Truth About the War We're In. Robert, welcome back.
Todd, thanks very much for having me on again.
Is this an example of an overzealous family taking the teachings of Islam too far?
I wish I could say that it was, but unfortunately, it's not. Islam actually mandates that a disobedient woman should be beaten. This is chapter 4, verse 34 of the Quran. Good women are obedient. As for those who are not, give them a warning, send them to separate beds, and beat them. And it also does not stipulate any penalty for a parent who kills a child. Now, when you have a situation like that, it can create a culture of violence, a culture in which violence against women is taken for granted, and that is exactly what we see. Spousal abuse and the beating of women is something that is very common, especially in more devout Islamic societies, so much so it's taken for granted and not reported. And even in places like Great Britain and the Muslim communities, when women go to local Muslim leaders and say that they've been hit, the response has been, according to video taken in secret and so on by people in the mosque, has been, well, what did you do to anger him? And what can you do to make sure he doesn't get angry again? Not anything about the abuse or any rebuke of the husband. What we see then in regard to honor killing, which this was, is that 91% of honor killings worldwide are committed by Muslims and take place within the context of Islamic culture because of this sanction of the beating of women and because of this idea that there's no penalty for a parent who kills a child. Thus, the family considers itself to be dishonored by the disobedience of a woman like this and then restores the honor of the family by going ahead and killing her.
So there are two things at work here. One is the honor culture that is kind of created around Islam, and then also the explicit both teachings of Islam and how women are to be treated by their families and husbands, and the no setting of zero penalty whatsoever. In fact, I think the father is quoted by a police investigator here as saying, "I have no regret over it. I killed my daughter. She had insulted all our family by marrying a man without our consent."
That's exactly it, Todd. As far as he's concerned, he's perfectly within his rights and indeed has a responsibility to do what he did.
So how do we respond when someone says, you know, this Islam is a peaceful religion? Usually that statement is made in response to terrorist acts, to kind of the bigger actions of violence, although all violence is violence. But here we're talking about the Islamic home. We're talking about the family where female children can be treated like this with impunity. How do we respond when someone says, yes, but Islam is still a religion of peace?
Well, the thing is that this is asserted increasingly in the teeth of the evidence. And how long are we going to put up with that? People say this to me, and, you know, constantly I see, for example, that these abducted schoolgirls in Nigeria see articles every day explaining that this has nothing to do with Islam and so on and so on. And yet, the abduction of girls and their pressing into sex slavery is something that's actually also sanctioned in the Quran. And so I think we just need to keep stressing the facts and calling people to adhere to the facts and not to ignore them and allow them to be buried.
Now, another thing I'd like you to respond to while we have time is near the end of the story that I'm looking at in USA Today. It reads thus: the Quran, the Muslim holy book, does not approve of honor killings or of extrajudicial murder. The website questions about Islam, and then there's a number of quotes there following all that seem to be saying what happened here was not congruent with Islam. Your response?
Well, my response is, you know, I already quoted you the chapter 4, verse 34 about beating disobedient women, and the idea that there's no penalty for the killing of a child by a parent is something that's in Islamic legal manuals. You know, I have the citation on my website, jihadwatch.org, and people can find it there in connection with this story. The problem with these kinds of articles, like the one that you're looking at, is that they never address those things, and they never explain why, if it's so, what they're saying, why do so many Muslims fail to grasp it? Why do they misunderstand their own religion so drastically as to think that it does justify this kind of behavior? If it's really so easy to dismiss the and say, well, this has nothing to do with Islam, why do so many Muslims keep getting it wrong?
Here, by the way, is a tweet from America as they ask the question, where are the American Islamic organizations, CARE and ISNA? Should they be screaming about this? They should be screaming about this, shouldn't they?
Of course they should. The thing is that this kind of thing gives the lie to their whole narrative. I mean, they claim to reject this understanding of Islam. They claim to reject terrorism, and yet they have opposed every counter-terror measure that's ever come down the pike. And when these kinds of incidents come along, they just breezily dismiss them, as we've been discussing, as having nothing to do with Islam, without addressing the justifications that Muslims use for these things, which only means that people will continue, Muslims will continue to use these justifications.
Finally, then, there's another element here that I wanted you to address real quickly, and that is arranged marriage. In this case, the family wanted to arrange for a marriage to a cousin. Is that also part of the familial authority granted through Islam?
Yeah, women are commodities. Women are possessions, so first of their fathers and then of their husbands. And the idea that she would choose her own mate rather than have allow herself to be married to whoever her father picked out was an unacceptable level of disobedience that had to be corrected in this way.
Does this happen in the United States, and as far as you can tell, to what degree?
Unfortunately, yes, it does happen. Of course, many of these cases, there was a celebrated case that my colleague Pamela Geller and I protested, actually, in Florida, a woman named Fatima Abdullah, who was apparently honor-murdered by her family, but the official autopsy report said that she committed suicide by repeatedly banging her head against a coffee table, which is so ridiculous on its face that I just wonder, you know, who paid off who or what's really going on there. And there are other cases where it was too obvious that it was an honor killing to ignore or cover up. The honor killing of Aksa Parvez was in Canada, but she refused to wear the hijab and was strangled by her father and brother. Amina and Sarah Saeed in Texas and several others around the United States have been murdered by their fathers for not obeying Islamic norms, and in some cases doing exactly what this girl did and trying to marry who they wanted to instead of who their father wanted them to.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch, and he's author of several books on Islam, including his latest, Arab Winter Comes to America, The Truth About the War We're In. You can find out more about this book and Jihad Watch under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Robert, thanks for being our guest.
A pleasure. Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Terry Mattingly. He joins us regularly to talk about media coverage of religious matters, and you can't get a bigger religious matter than Pope Francis taking a trip to the Middle East. Of course, was it covered as a religious matter by the New York Times, by the Washington Post, by the Los Angeles Times? Maybe the AP. Maybe the AP actually covered a religious leader's trip to the Middle East as a religious endeavor. We'll see when we talk with Terry Mattingly. After this,
Christianity has so much influence our culture that we take it for granted and think it was always that way.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And if you move into one of the Mideastern countries where primarily the theology of Islam operates, you can see the influence of what Christianity has had in our culture. Yet we tend not really quite to, how shall I say, realize it and appreciate it. And once in a while we need to be reminded.
You can meet and hear Dr. Alvin Schmidt making the case for Christianity's positive impact on civilization June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
T-shirts, shorts, sun. Get in shape this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Get A-Fit this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
As sure as his resurrection, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
He meets us here, not just an empty cross, not just an empty tomb, but the very risen Christ himself, the one who is the resurrection and the life.
We'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon on Job for any size gift during the 50 days of Easter. Make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the Easter season.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.